Before you sit down, I rarely get this opportunity, but I can't resist. I'm going to take a picture now, because I can see all of you up there. Yeah, yeah, that's good. And then now we're going to do a selfie. Let's see. All right, good. Okay, well, we got that done. Okay, you can sit down. See, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. The day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. But for you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Maybe it's just me, but these are interesting readings for this week. This reading from Malachi is almost eerie in its appearance. I have no idea if I'm speaking to a crowd that's elated or despondent, but the point is not a partisan one anyway. No matter how this election turned out, I think some of the feelings would be the same. It would have left a nation divided, at odds with one another in a way, almost pointing a finger at one another, perhaps seeing one side, whichever side you're not on, as the evildoers. Malachi speaks of. It is so easy to make that leap and so very dangerous. Last week at this time, I was preaching something to the effect that I was just so glad the election would finally take place and be over. I meant every word of that. The vitriol had become tiring, and I felt, like many, I believe, trapped in a nightmare. I was asked the day of the election to tape a segment for the next morning, the morning after the election. The reporter said that he had read my earlier blog entitled Pray and Vote, and he was intrigued, wanting to know more about how we will reconcile in the days after. When he came to D House, you could tell he was distraught about this. He said he had heard stories of marriages being torn apart, families torn apart, friendships coming to an end. Sounds a lot like the Gospel of Luke for today. I said something that day about aggressively seeking reconciliation and that leadership in this country does not come from any one person, but from all. I went on to suggest where this all begins. I suggested that perhaps you don't look up to those who are elected tomorrow. Instead, look in the mirror. That's where it starts. We miss that most important person, ourselves, so often. It reminds me of this great video clip. I think I saw it first at one of our diocesan governing bodies retreat, where it's the high-rise office buildings where the floors are connected by escalators, and all of a sudden one day, with a few people on them, they all stop. You see these stranded people on the escalator just standing there, looking around with consternation on their faces. One man finally yells out, "Somebody, please help!" They're just standing there. Day turns to night, and they're still standing there. And now they have moved to complaining. The man sitting on the step saying, "I can't believe anyone's coming to get us. This is ridiculous. In this country, you would think we could do better." All to highlight, sometimes we just need to take a step. Actually walk down the stairs. You could have the same skit with all those people movers in airports. I'm amazed how many able-bodied people get on those and just stand there. Kind of defeats the idea of moving you faster. If one of those stopped, would they just stand there until they missed their flight? We have to take steps. So the week has passed and the election's over, but as I said last week, I feared the feeling wouldn't be. And I have to say, from meeting with many in these last few days, being interviewed by that TV station and many other stories I've heard, it hasn't. There's no doubt we are divided. There is no doubt that the ideas of where this country should go are about as diverse and opposed as could just about be imagined. Malachi and the Gospel of Luke is actually addressing very similar times and ideas. As much as we'd like to think we're very unique, people have been through this before. Malachi is actually not a proper name, and so this is considered really an anonymous book. It's more aptly titled My Messenger. It's a book distinctive for its dialogues between God and the people. It's important to be aware of the context of today's very brief lesson, the immediate unit of which is part of Malachi 4, 1 through 3, which itself is the concluding paragraph in a dispute that began in verse 3, 13. Its theme is the justice of God, specifically directed to those who assert that evildoers prosper They seem to win in this world. He doesn't argue that evildoers do not prosper, but instead calls on his people to look ahead to the reign of justice God will bring. So we have to be very careful where we put ourselves in this passage or anyone, and where we put those who we might now fear or not understand and perhaps wonder how we can share a country with. I don't think we can escape the premise of this passage, like so many addressed to oppressed people that have lost hope. Just wait. When the Son of Righteousness comes, all will be made right. Well, that's designed to be comforting to those who suffer. But sadly, in this world, it's often used as license to those who inflict and or benefit from the suffering. When I blogged the night after the election, I entitled my blog, "We Are Not Enemies," borrowing from Abraham Lincoln's first inaugural address when he said, "We're not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies." Going on to speak of the better angels of our nature, that great famous phrase of Lincoln's. On the night after this election, there were many who were just not ready to go there with me. There was, for those brave enough to challenge me, this fear that what I was suggesting was that we all now must become doormats for Jesus. One person brought up to me, "Yes, we can talk about reconciliation, but you must also talk of resistance." While I certainly didn't mean to suggest that, I got their point. It's hard to sit and think about the sweet by and by when a threat seems so imminent and real. I can't even begin to know the fear that is in those who were so demonized in this election cycle. That's actually one of the divisions, that I can't know it like they know it. Those who were so easily tossed around in global terms as mere commodities and who now feel the spotlight upon them. I can't know what many women feel like after being the focus of predators in their life and realizing after hearing that virtually now forgotten tape that we just elected him president. All in the name of the return of family values. There's a lot of confusion. As I said to the person who questioned talking of reconciliation without talking about resistance, I told him I very much agree, but I do not see them as mutually exclusive. Love and clarity can coexist. It's not so much what we believe and even how far apart those beliefs may be, but rather how we go about dealing with one another with those beliefs. We saw that line crossed entirely too much these last few years. And we not only should, but I would argue we are called to stand up to that when we see it. No, when I entitled it "We Are Not Enemies," I was suggesting what should be, not necessarily what is. Like Jesus, who talked a lot about the kingdom of God, knowing full well it was not here, that what he described was not yet. He also called on us, those who call ourselves Christians, to strive for it today, to work to bring it about now. We are being called today, as in every day, to do the work of that. It's a time not only to look to those elected to serve, but to look in the mirror, to take the step to come down off the stopped escalators. One thing should be very clear to those of us gathered here today, those of us who follow a man named Jesus. Our purpose and mission has never been more needed or more clear. We will be called on to speak, to be messengers of a vision of a different world, and we shouldn't shirk that duty in any way. That duty and call, as we see in these scriptures today, is a holy one, but it's not an easy one. It is indeed difficult, and in Luke today, Jesus even makes clear it can be a deadly one. Only we will decide if it's worth that kind of sacrifice. One promise made to us here is that through our endurance, we will gain our souls. I don't know about you, but I'm ready for that. This season just ended made me feel as if I was losing my soul and our collective one. But one thing this election tells us, whether we like it or not, whether we want to own it or not, is this is who we are as a country. As a people, right now, it's who we are. And so there's a lot of work to do. But whatever we decide, and I do truly pray that I and we can lean into the challenge and one another enough, whatever we decide, we do have this promise as part of all that we are as followers of Jesus Christ, a rock solid foundation where the Sun of Righteousness shall rise, rather through the Holy Spirit or within each of us. And when it does, there will be healing in its wings. May it be so. My sisters and brothers, I've said these words to you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.